Do you live in the hope of the Lord Jesus' return? What dominates your mind as you look into the future, and especially with the thought that we enter another millennium in but a little while? Is it the hope of the Lord's coming? Does it burn brightly in your heart, and does it determine how you live your life, determine the thoughts of your mind and the desires of your heart? Is the hope of Christ's coming producing constant watchfulness and prayerfulness in your life? And do these things stand at the center of your Christian life? No one is a Christian who does not have placed in their heart the prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Open up the heart of the child of God, and you will find inscribed upon the walls of that heart that prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus." And all of those who have that prayer in their heart, as a result, keep themselves unspotted from a wicked world and live in the love of God and desire to be faithful to their Savior in this world. The Apostle Paul gives a very beautiful confession in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. He says there, "I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And he says that that crown belongs not only to himself, but to all them that love his appearing. Scripture there is giving to us a clear description of those who are genuinely saved, those whose hope of salvation is not a pipe dream, but a certain reality. They are the ones who love his appearing. Do you love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you live your life in the hope of his coming? Is that the center of your mind and soul? Does it shape and mold your life so that you are constantly watching, ready for his coming? Today we want to continue looking into the words of the Lord in Mark chapter 13, as we have in the last 2 weeks. We come to the last words that he speaks in that chapter. Verse 33. "Take ye heed, watch, and pray." Verse 35. "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Jesus is concluding the sermon that he spoke on the end times. He concludes the sermon with an imperative: watch. Take ye heed, watch and pray. An imperative is a command. It urges us to a most crucial duty. And when it is spoken in the present tense, as Jesus speaks, the idea is that it's a continual duty. So our Lord says in a repeated and in an urgent manner, "My chosen ones, my disciples, who by my grace confess me, and for whom I have laid down my life in order that ye might be my disciples. Speaking to you, I say, until I return and that day dawns when you see me upon the clouds of glory, you must keep on watching and praying." No fatigue, no complacency, no other preoccupations may be allowed to push this into the background of your heart. "Until I come, watch and pray. Take ye heed," says the Lord. That is, pay attention to this. Let it sink down. Don't give this a quick once-over and go on your way to life as usual, focusing your heart and your eye upon the earthly. But take ye heed, watch and pray. The Lord is calling us to a spiritual alertness. He is saying, drive away all forgetfulness, all indifference. Drive away the gods of mammon from your heart, and live in constant spiritual watchfulness and prayerfulness. Now mark this down. Preparedness for Christ's coming demands effort, spiritual effort. No one will be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ who has not diligently sought to be prepared. That's also true for your death. The moment of death will find you unprepared. unless you make preparation now in your heart. And so also the Lord's coming at the end of the world, or his coming for you personally in death, is not something that you may push off and consider for another day. Oh no. You may never, and I may never, put on the shelf for another day any of God's truth. It is an urgent duty today. Are you ready? Are you ready now? Are you watching? Are you prepared? Now I want you to see that the Lord's urgent imperative that we are to watch is based upon the fact that the time of his coming is concealed and unknown to us. If we knew the time when the Lord would return, then there would be no urgency to watch every day. He says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for, that is, here's the reason why you must watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Because we do not know the time of the end, we must therefore constantly watch, and we must constantly be prepared. A wife who waits for her husband to return from the war and does not know when, the day or the hour, but knows soon, soon he will come. He will come any moment, for the war has ended, and the last telegram was that he's on the way. That wife would keep herself ready. Think back to the days of World War I or World War II before instant communication. The war is over, and the telegram has said, I'm on my way. I should be home soon. She's watching. She has her hair combed the way that he likes. She has on her good clothes. She's all dressed. But then perhaps she would receive a telegram. Or the doorbell would ring and she would receive a message. Honey, I will not be home until this Saturday at 2 p.m. Pick me up at Union Station, downtown Chicago. Well, then, she won't watch. Then perhaps she'll take off that dress and wait and get ready on Saturday morning. Jesus says, the Father hath not made known to you the time of my coming for good reason. I would have you live in expectation, in watching. I would have you ready always. Luke 12, verse 40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Verse 35, let your loins be girt about and your lights burning. The issues of your soul and of your standing before God and being ready to stand before the Lord, these are current, these are urgent, these are pressing issues always. Don't say, well, I've got tomorrow to worry about my spiritual life before the Lord and to prepare for his coming and for glory. The Lord warns against that carnal thinking. This is his will. Until he come, in every day until then, take the whole armor of God so that ye may be able to stand, live in constant devotion and expectation of him, live in faith, hope, love, and purity for his sake. Watch and pray. The Lord calls us to constant watchfulness. The word that is used in verse 33 is slightly different in its shade of meaning. It refers to the idea of chasing away sleep. It refers to the fact when drowsiness and fatigue seem to overwhelm you and your eyelids want to go south. You're driving the car and you slap your cheek and you roll down the window and you do something to try to drive the sleep away. The Lord is saying, drive away spiritual drowsiness, indifference. You must be alert. You must be razor sharp. You must not live as a spiritual drugged zombie. Stay awake spiritually. Physical sleep is a wonder. It's a created power of God to cut you off from reality, from the reality of the world, from troubles, unpaid bills. Physical sleep cuts you off from reality. The Lord says, now here is reality. Your life, saved in Jesus Christ, is in Christ. The spiritual things of the kingdom of God are your sole concern. Life for you now is communion with Christ. The eternal life of your soul, which consists in faith, repentance, and the life of obedience to God's will, this is your life. Do not go to sleep. Do not nod off spiritually. Drive away the lethargy of spiritual indifference. The world of sin and your flesh wants to lull you to sleep. It wants you to put all of these things off at great distance. It will say, oh, we don't mean to deny these things. It's nice that you have this faith, but you know it's really not important now. You can take care of those things later. Whatever puts you out of touch with the realities of your salvation, on whatever level it may be, drive it from you. If you have a preoccupation with money, if you have a preoccupation with video games, TV, sports, you may not let them dominate, so captivate you that you become oblivious to Christ, to the reality of your spiritual life, of God, sin, repentance, a life of obedience and faith. Then the Lord says there must be constant prayerfulness. Watch and pray. Those words are often mentioned together in the Bible. Mark 14:38. The Lord says to the disciples when they fell asleep, as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. In 1 Peter 4:7, we read, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. Those things go together, watching and praying. They're mutual. They're connected. If you are alert, if you are watching, if you are alert to the realities of your soul in a dark world, it will drive you to prayer. And exactly through constant prayerfulness, you will be made alert. If we are to watch, we must pray. Now, what is prayer? And why is prayer spoken of so repeatedly in connection with our life in the last days? Well, prayer is the felt consciousness of our need, which drives us out of ourselves to seek help in our God. Prayer puts us in touch with realities which cannot be seen. We confess that we come before the throne of God, and we call upon him as his children. We see ourselves in this present life as pilgrims and strangers. We confess that our hope is above. Every time we pray, we are saying those things. Every time we pray sincerely. Our Lord is speaking, then, of the great dangers of complacency and apathy and spiritual sleep, that we get caught unawares. In the light of such things, where are we going to find strength so that we are not lulled to sleep, so that we are not drunken with the things of this world, so that we just are not carried along with the stream of an indifferent world? Where will we find the strength? The Lord says, pray. In the light of your current position in this world, you are only going to have the spiritual equilibrium to abide in me and to do my will when you live your life in constant prayerfulness. Pray to the Father to have strength, that you might know his truth. Pray for peace, to know that God is upon his throne and nothing can take you from his almighty will. Where are you as a young man, a young girl, a young woman, where are you going to get strength to confess Christ in that class in college? Where are you going to get strength to stand in an age when the gospel is ridiculed and be faithful to that gospel? Where are you going to get strength to stand up when in a group suddenly things go in a way that you hadn't anticipated and they say, well, let's go off to the bar for a few beers, and after that, well, let's go off to somebody's house for this or that, and you know in your heart that things are going in a way that are not right. Where are you going to get the strength to say, no, I'm going home. You can leave me out of the car. I'll call, I'll get a ride, I'm going home. Where are you going to get the strength to do that? Prayer. In prayer, we exchange our weakness and our compromise and our indifference for his strength. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 40:31. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Lord emphasizes that this is our calling. He emphasizes it when he says that his return will be as a householder who returns after a far journey. When he had left his house, he gave authority to his servants, and he gave to every man his responsibilities and tasks. And he commanded each one to be faithful, and he commanded the porter, the gatekeeper, to watch. And then suddenly the Lord says that he returns at a moment unexpected, at a moment that they had not known, and he comes to inquire of his servants. He expects to find the servants of his household doing his will, watchful. Imagine what would be the case if in those days, as the Lord speaks in the history of his own days, that a master of the household has left, and he has commanded one of his servants to be the porter, to watch the gate, to protect his family and his possessions. The servant has pledged fidelity to his master. And then the master appears at a moment when the porter thought not, and found him sleeping. And the master would sit down with him and say, I called you to watch. I told you that your love for me and for my house and for my children, for my goods, will be seen by watching for my return. Now I have come. And when I have come, you are asleep. The Lord would say to the porter, your actions speak louder than your words. You said, I care for my master. I care for his house and for his children. But your actions say, I care not for my master's house, his goods, or his children. I care not for my master. Let us not sleep, beloved. Let us be alert. The way that the devil leads men to hell is through sleep. No, not physical sleep. Spiritual indifference. By spiritual indifference, someone can sleep their way right into the flames of hell. With the idea, tomorrow, we really can't be sure if there's a God. With the ideas that are so prevalent in the world, that there's only you, and there's only today, and you should live only for the moment, and the only thing that counts is yourself and what you got, and your own happiness, and what you can make for yourself, and the success of the present time. That's all that matters. When a person lays hold upon that with their heart, they are spiritually asleep. They are far from reality. There is only one duty. We must be ready for the return of our Lord. And what I say, said Jesus, I say unto all, watch. There's something very sobering in those words, something very pithy. The Lord says it all comes down to just one word. What is a Christian whose hope is on Christ? What is a Christian to do in every circumstance of their life, at every age, and in every day? Watch. Be alert. Be ready. Stand consciously before the Son of Man. That means that you and I, as children of God, if our confession is true and of the Holy Spirit, then we will depart from anyone or anything which draws us into spiritual indifference and drowsiness. They are our enemies. If the Lord says watch and pray, then anyone or anything which erodes prayer and erodes spiritual watchfulness in my life is my enemy, no matter how innocent it may appear. That's a vital issue. The vital issue is not what you have in terms of earthly physical things, income, home, and pleasures. But the vital issue is that we give our energy to the nurture of our hearts and our faith, and that we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Anything that begins to set its tentacles around your heart, so that you begin to have an excessive preoccupation with that thing, and you begin to look to that thing for your comfort and satisfaction, the Lord says, cast it from you. Be ready. Are you ready to meet Him? Are you ready now? By the grace of God, does your faith rest in the Lord Jesus Christ who died at Calvary? And are you ready for that day, that beautiful day when it dawns, when He shall appear in all of His power? If you're not, the word of God is repent. Repent now. Let us then learn to pray, teach me, Lord. Teach me to be watchful. Teach me to be prayerful. Give me to live today in such a way that my ear is ready to hear the trumpet. My feet are ready to obey the command to come out. My eye is looking upward, and my heart is desiring the coming of my Lord and Master. God grant it to us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We pray that through the Holy Spirit Thou wilt keep us both watchful and prayerful unto the return of the Savior. Amen.